All right, this week's parasha is the parasha of Shidduchim, Yitzhak and Rivka getting married. People often take advantage of this week to talk about those in Yonim, as I have done many years in the past. I'm going to do it again this year with a slightly different approach than I've offered you guys in past years. And honestly, what I'm going to be presenting to you now is more appropriate if you were a few years older. But as my menahel, when I was in high school, told me and told us that he felt he had to share things with us even in high school because he was worried that we wouldn't get it later in life. So I'm going to share things with you that maybe would be more appropriate a little later, but you'll get it now. But I want to talk about the difference between most of society's approach to love, to marriage, versus the Torah's perspective. And then I also want to touch on the difference between the modern Orthodox world and the yeshiva world's approach to boy-girl relationships pre-marriage. Let's start with a pasuk in this week's parsha. Vayikach es Rivka batzehilo leisha. Yitzchak took Rivka, and they got married. She became his wife. And he loved her. In general, in the Welt, the society, the approach in the world to love is not really love. He loved her. What their version of love isn't love. It's lust. It's passion. It's excitement for the physical attraction. But look at this pasuk. If that's what love meant, if love meant I'm excited about the physical attraction that exists between men and women, this pasuk would be very odd. He married her, and then it says, and then he loved her. When it comes to physical attraction, those things are at their highest, their peak, before somebody's married. The more that someone engages in those sort of behavior, they're very likely to not be at that extreme height. Yet Yitzchak married her, and then loved her. Apparently, this love is something very different than just physical attraction, lust. Disney has the thing, love at first sight. Love at first sight. It's nonsense. Boy sees a beautiful girl, he's stricken. He's in love. That's not love at all. He saw her. He's attracted to her. It's desire at first sight. Nothing to do with love. What is love? What's real love? Apparently, it's something that grows with marriage, not shrinks. What is a love that can grow when you're married? Let's take a step back. Let's look at how the Torah views women versus the world, how the world has viewed women throughout the ages. In the time of the Torah, I've quoted this too many times, Hammurabi's code, was that if you kill someone, right, you got killed. Well, if you kill someone's son, yeah, we're going to kill you, Hammurabi said. But if you kill someone's daughter, no, we don't kill you, then we kill your daughter. Whoa. If you kill a slave or someone of a lower class than you are, no, then you pay different fines. If you kill someone your class or above, you get killed. But you kill somebody lower class, then you don't get killed. So you kill a woman, you're good. I mean, your daughter's not, but you're good. You kill someone of lower class, a slave, all okay, just pay a fine. The Torah says, if you kill anyone, it doesn't matter which shevet. Even if it doesn't matter if he's a Kohen, a Levi, a Yisrael, it doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman. And it doesn't matter who commits the murder. You are a person of Chayiv Misa for committing murder, period. Every life is precious and valuable. Women's lives are of equal value. Not only are they of equal value, husbands are expected to put them first. Last week's parasha, we learned that Avram set up Sarah's tent first. That's how a husband treats his wife. He doesn't just view her as an equal, he puts her first. until very recently, society expected women to be ignorant and silent, to not have any opinions, and if they do, keep them to themselves. Only very recently did they start to realize, yeah, women could have opinions, that's okay. Do you know it was only 100 years ago in the United States of America that women were given the right to vote? They couldn't vote. We didn't believe they deserved an opinion. In America, in the progressive America, they did not believe women deserved to have an opinion. What does the Torah have to say about this? Well, let's see last week's parsha again. Hashem tells Avram, you're very disturbed by what your wife's telling you, what Sarah's telling you, that you should kick out Ishmael. I know this is a very difficult decision. Kol asher tomar elecha, everything she says to you, shema bekola. Not just do it. Listen to her. Trust your wife. Respect her opinion. She has wisdom. She has judgment that you do not have. The Torah says that we not only value women, we not only take care of them and put their needs before our own, but we actually respect them and their opinions. We don't just pretend to keep them happy. No, Shema Bikola. We value what they have to say. And I think most of you probably understand very well in your own homes that that's how it works. And that's how it works in the firm world. We respect and listen to the mother's opinion. 3,000 years ago, Devorah was the Gadol Hador, the Manhig Yisrael. Devorah, the Shofetes, led Klal Yisrael, a lady. 100 years ago, women couldn't vote in the United States. The Torah and Klal Yisrael have brought to the world respect and value and appreciation for women that never before existed. We haven't fully accomplished that part of our mission of spreading that value so fully, as I'm sure you're aware. Society around us still, with their disgusting music, their books, their movies, the things you can find at the keystroke or on your phone, incessantly, constantly objectify women. Objectify, that means make them into objects. Make people think that women are there just as an object to serve a purpose, as a tool for your use, to cook, to clean, or more importantly, in order to satisfy one's own desires. Society around us still is constantly pouring these horrible views into our minds that women are there merely as objects to be used to our own ends. Is it any surprise that out in the veldt they have the astronomical divorce rates that they have? Is it any surprise with the continuing rapid decline of successful lasting marriages in the United States? Marriage is disappearing in the United States. This is something they're talking about. Marriage is very rapidly disappearing. Why? Because they want love, what they call love, just to enjoy themselves. And why should I be committed to one spouse? I'd rather jump from one person to the next than not have people have one spouse. Why should I live my life? I want love. Desire is what they really mean. Perhaps I would suggest some of what we're seeing in our own community, with, although it's a relatively much smaller amount, but there is still an increase in divorce, is because these views are seeping in, unfortunately, and we're not appreciating fully how the Torah expects us to view and respect each other. So we understand what much of the world's view of love is. Lust, desire, that is love. Love is not really anything deeper than that. So what is true, meaningful love? The love that Yitzchak felt for Rivka? Love that can last? And more than that, love that can grow? Now some people say, oh, they fell out of love. We got divorced because we fell out of love. What is that? Well, when love is just a chemical reaction that you're so excited in your brain, the chemical reaction's a little different today, so now I don't feel that. Or when love is just a matter of I'm chasing my physical attraction, when the next piece of meat passes by that looks more exciting, I get my suddenly excited about something else. Like you're walking into a meat store and just look around and say, oh, what do I want? I'm just trying to find something that it's going to be enjoyable for today. Oh, that looks good. No, tomorrow I want something else. I'm in the mood for a different meal today. When your whole relationship is simply, purely based on that attraction, then yeah, when the attraction moves to somewhere else and you suddenly get excited about something else, or the attraction isn't as strong right at that moment in that type of attraction, then yeah, you fall out of love. What these people don't realize is that when you have a meaningful relationship, that actually fuels and maintains the passion, the attraction. They really end up boosting each other. This is something, when you're in chassan classes, you'll learn more about this. But there are ways that you'll find out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up Jewish marriages so that they're built in a way to maintain that attraction, that physical attraction. And the attraction and the true relationship really do go build off of each other. So what is Ahava? Rav Dessler explains that Ahava, love, comes from the word hav. Hav is giving. The more you give a person, the more you care for them, the more you love them. That's what really builds the spark, the excitement, the passion, and the commitment, is when you give to a person. That's why your rebbeim care about you so much, whether you realize it or not. They're constantly worrying about you. They're constantly trying to figure out how they can help you, what they could do for you, how to help you grow. They're constantly in a state of mind where they're just giving to you, and that causes them to care for you greatly. In a marriage, when people are giving, when that's the foundation of the relationship, that is actual Ahava, actual love. Now, people often think that if they want to build a relationship, they want to get someone to like them, let's say a friend, they need to give them things. And there's some truth to that. When you give somebody things, you know, it does help. The mission itself says, "Knei lecha chaver," acquire a friend. If you have to acquire it, even with money, even with getting them things. Okay, whatever it takes. But I'm going to tell you, it's an even better trick. You remember this psychological trick here that I'm sharing with you now. It might help you one day. The better trick to building a relationship, the better tool, device to use, is to get them to give you something. Because when somebody gives you something, they care more about you. When you give them, you care more about them. That's when they'll start to care about you, to like you. When a relationship's built on giving to another person, and thereby truly caring and respecting and valuing each other, the relationship, in fact, can grow. Eliezer made sure that Yitzhak's wife would be a giver. That's what makes a good spouse. What makes a good spouse is somebody who's going to give. And if you ask from couples with healthy marriages, they will vouch for this. That by giving to each other, their relationship and their marriage have grown, have improved. And when marriages are weak and going through trouble, I heard this from one of my rebbeim, and I fully believe it. It usually means the husband needs to work on himself and needs to learn some mussar to work on more firmly ingraining these values within himself. Now let's talk about relationships between boys and girls who are not married. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked by a bacher, is it technically usur? Not just, I understand, hashkafically, my mashkiach will tell me it's a bad idea, hashkafa, al pi musur, it's bad. What about halacha? Is it halachically usur to have a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship? And Rav Moshe explained to him, wrote it in a tshuva, it's not just usur, it's arayas. See, the Torah, he points out, one of the 613 mitzvahs, besides all the mitzvahs to not come close to and live with all the people who are asur to you, there's a separate mitzvah. A mitzvah lo sikrevu. Don't even come close to those people who are forbidden to you. There's an isur d'oraisa to even be close to do anything that leads to excitement, to pleasure, to hana. And therefore, if you're even just schmoozing with a girl, and that gives you pleasure, and I'm sure it doesn't apply to you guys, but you could imagine that boys get excited even just talking to a girl. It's so fun, it's so gishmak, haha. That itself is included in the Isser Dereis of Losikrevu. Now there's some confusion. That's why I wanted to address the difference between what we see in the modern Orthodox community versus the yeshiva approach in relationships between boys and girls. And I think there's become some confusion, because I think yeshiva boys often see in the modern Orthodox world there are boys and girls hanging out together. And they could come to the conclusion that there is a legitimate path within the Torah, within Avodas Hashem, to do that, to go hang out with girls. There is a legitimate path. Well, he's modern, that's why he does that. Maybe I want to be modern. I have spoken with a number of modern Orthodox rabbis and principals, community leaders. All of the ones I've spoken with, and children of ones I've spoken with, who told me what their father said, they all wish they could instill more Yiras Shemayim in their kids. They wish they could save their kids from the schmutz of what comes out of these relationships. Now, they may have different approaches and how separate they keep the boys and girls, but they should be boyfriend-girlfriend, and they should end up being involved in the schmutz. They all wish that they could get away from that, all the ones I've dealt with, who were some of the most respected leaders in the modern Orthodox world. So while there's some difference in approach, nobody thinks it's okay. So when somebody says, well, the modern Orthodox world says it's okay, this in that modern Orthodox school, they do that, what you don't realize is that their rabbis, and their rabbis' rabbis, the leaders of the modern Orthodox world, do not approve of that one iota. So I just want to clear up that point of confusion. You might think, well, maybe I'm modern, so it's okay. You would be mistaken. You would be sorely mistaken. And being over an Isser D'Oraisa, that's very possibly a harig val yavr, that you're an Isser that's so chomer you should give up your life before you do it. Someone I've been very close with, I'll give you too many details, somebody who I've been very close with throughout my life, who went through some of the most prestigious modern Orthodox institutions, the most prestigious modern Orthodox institutions, and now he runs one such institution. He's a community leader in that community. He has bemoaned to me several times how, especially in America, he says, people use the title modern Orthodox just as an excuse to do averus, to be over asurim. His words, not mine. Now, he himself believes strongly in the modern Orthodox ideals. But he says that's not what he sees in America. What he sees in America is people who don't even know what those ideals are, and instead just say, anything I want, any Aveira I want to be over, yeah, I do it because I'm modern Orthodox. So no, the modern Orthodox world does not have anyone's back who tries to be over these horrible Aveiras. So, but now let's think. Let's think about a yeshiva boy, yeshiva girl who do this. Who, despite it being clear as day that their parents, their rebbeim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want them to engage in these activities. And yet still they do it. Could that possibly be? Is there any chance that is Ahava? That there's a chance that they will build a relationship of actual, we've been describing as not just lust, base desire, but actual Ahava? Think about what they're doing. From the boy's perspective, he's depriving this young lady of listening to the Torah, stripping away from her the most valuable thing she could have in this world. Devekus b'Hashem, a connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Ruchni, a spirituality. Think about what he's doing to her. And think about what she's doing to him. The very same thing, killing him spiritually. Yet, they love each other. Like a coke addict. A coke addict who says to you, if you really love me, shoot me up. Get me some drugs. Help me out here. Is that an act of love? If you destroy them and feed their addiction? So here we have two coke addicts who are helping each other, destroy each other. They're each providing the other with drugs. Destroying each other. Is that an act of love? Yeah. No, they don't care about each other. They're destroying them. Can this be a relationship of true love? No. Love is giving. Love is respecting. Love is valuing. Love is caring for them. When you take away what matters most to them, cannot be love. And certainly not the kind of love that can last and can grow. It's the kind that's built on taking and destroying. It's built on a selfish desire to take for yourself, to make yourself feel good, and not built one bit on giving. And therefore, it's a relationship that's destined to fail and cause great amounts of pain. And when you're my age, you've seen the process go through countless times, and every time, virtually every time, end in tears and pain. That's understandable why that would happen. Now, I had a friend growing up who did engage in such behaviors, unfortunately, and eventually married the young lady who he was boyfriend-girlfriend with, Rahman al-Islam. And I was speaking with him not that long ago, and he was telling me about this really exciting adventure that he was planning. And I said, wow, that's amazing. Your wife is going to love that. And he says to me, good Lord, no, I don't want to take my wife. The relationship that started with chasing desires is going to end with people who don't really care for each other. I end with a bracha to you that, like my relationship with my wife, you should be zocha that one day you have someone who, after many years, there's nobody you'd want to go on a walk with more. There's nobody you'd want to go on vacation with more. There's no one you want to spend time with more, and nobody who you would do more for. Have a wonderful time.